And we continue on with the theme of honor. And I tried to break this up a little bit because I knew we had the business meeting. And then so hopefully, and I don't want to rush at the same time. Malachi chapter 1. And I know I may have verses 6 through 14 there, but instead of reading all of that, I'm just going to read verse 6 here in just a moment. And then because we will be going over some of those passages in the notes in the outline anyway. But where is my honor? And I don't want to rehash some things that I've said in the past, but that is a good question with the aspect, where is my honor? So tonight it's more of looking at it, a little more focused to ourself. Each of us individually as well as collectively. We can ask the question, where is the honor in our country today? Where is the honor in our world today? But this is a little more specific, a little more directional, a little more self-evaluation as we look at this. So let's look together. We've already prayed, and I'll read some of these verses as we go instead of reading the whole text twice. But Malachi is the last of the Old Testament voices calling for God's people to make their paths straight. And again, I think we need that today as well, individually, collectively, in our country. His name simply means my messenger. My messenger. And the message that was his to deliver was a burdensome message indeed. Many Christians have a hard time when the pastor says, open your Bible to Malachi chapter 3. They begin to get nervous. Oh boy, is it going to jump down to verse number 10? We will get there eventually. But number one tonight, the confrontation. In other words, where is my honor? Again, ask yourself, where is my honor? And let's not be so quick to ask about someone else's honor, what they're doing, but where is my honor as we self-reflect? Notice verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Letter A, you are dishonoring. Again, as he is the messenger here, giving a hard messenger, and the confrontation is the theme for tonight, and we'll have several sub-points under this, but confrontation. So God confronts the priests who are degrading his name. He's confronting these men. Again, listen to what I'm saying. He confronts the priest who are supposed to be the spiritual leaders. So we can still apply this to our life. In reality today, as saints, we are priests. Gentlemen, you're the priest of your home. You're the leader of your home. So we can make that a little more personal, but that's who he's writing here. He confronts these priests who are degrading his name instead of protecting his name. No, in other words, they gave no weight to God's word. Things went to their head. They were the priests. They were going to do things the way they wanted to do it, the way they recognized it. And then notice their number two under this aspect, not only no weight to God's word, but no worth to God's name. Again, if it gets back to them, if they're degrading the name of God, obviously they don't see him as any worth. And then the third thing here in reference to dishonoring, there were no consequences to their disobedience as of yet. So often we get concerned and wonder, well, why doesn't God handle that situation? Often when I hear Christians say that, I ask them, has there been any situation in your life that God hasn't handled yet? How would you want him to handle some situations in your life? The same way you hope God's going to handle that? Or do you want God to be merciful? But God in his timing will take care of it. You are dishonoring, referring to the priest. Letter B, your service is drudgery. Malachi chapter 1 and verse number 13, again referring to their service. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. Brother Tony, he wasn't talking about this type of snuff. It was a different type of snuff. But let's look a little closer to this. The word snuffed means to exhale loudly as if to sow disgust. That aspect of it is what he's referring to here. Again, let's read that. He said also, behold, what a weariness is it? And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. Again, the Lord getting on to these priests. The priests wouldn't shut the doors of the temple or keep the fire on the altar lit unless they were compensated. They wanted something in return for their work. God found absolutely no pleasure in this. That's the extra little things. I have been in the ministry full-time, almost solid, a few little gaps there, since 1992. And never as a pastor, never as a missionary, have I ever asked for anything when I went to someone's house to pray with them because they're having a problem. When we're in Eastern Europe, many of them would look for their pocketbook or look at something to give me something for coming to their house praying for them because that's what the priests always had done. Of course, I would never do that. I never took a dime for a wedding, for a funeral, for canceling my extra time, none of that. Until after some things seemed to change, and I want to blame everything on COVID, but I've only done a couple funerals during and after COVID, and every time the funeral home handed me a check. Before that, I never asked, never thought about it. I'm your pastor. This is a service that I provided you because you take care of me. This is a service I provide for you. But yet these priests, they wanted compensation for every little extra thing they may have done. Every little thing. Your service is drudgery. Letter C, your sacrifice is despicable. Again, let's ask ourselves, gentlemen, as a priest of our home, ladies, as the keepers of our home, those who here may be single, again, what are we looking for, some type of compensation, recognition, or whatever it may be for the things that we do? The fruit and evidence of our Christianity, of knowing the Lord, the evidence of that is just our desire to serve and love the Lord. We don't work to be saved. We do the things that we do in love unto the Lord. Now, I'll say this now, and it'll come up again Sunday. Don't get mad at me, but I'm starting a new tradition. Hopefully, I won't forget. I need to make note. But I think there's a lot of folks around here that do things not because they're asked, because they know that needs to be done, and they just do it. And it's really hard for me to do this, but I've decided to do it. I mentioned something to the deacons earlier, but we're going to recognize two people on Sunday as servants of the year. Now, I don't have enough to award everybody. It was hard to make a decision, but I think everyone will agree when that time comes. These people that do what they do, it's not for recognition. They do it because they love the Lord. They do it because they stepped up and to fill in a place where I can serve, and they said, Lord, how can I serve? And I appreciate that. And there's so many within our church who do those things. And I've even thought about the aspect of through the year once in a while doing some type of recognition for some of our folks just to say thank you. I did that during the holiday season, Michelle and I, for many of the folks in our church, especially our officers, for helping me in this first year, Michelle and I in this first year as pastor and first lady of Harvest Baptist Church. But these folks here were looking around, okay, where's my compensation before they would even do anything? And they carried the name priest, a leader, a spiritual leader. Malachi chapter 1, again, verse number 7. We'll read verse number 10 as we look at these despicable things. You offer polluted bread upon mine altar. Man, when I read that, it reminded this study, I thought, wow. I mean, that just kind of like it kicked me in the teeth. The first little phrase, you offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? They're offering polluted bread, but claiming they're doing everything good unto the Lord. Where have I polluted thee? In that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. And you offer the blind for sacrifice. Is it not evil? If we're supposed to bring our best, our first fruits, and here they're blaming the sick, the blind, and the lame. Reminds me when we're in Germany and Eastern Europe and in Europe in general. If you have a hunting license there and you go hunting, you have to have a forest ranger with you. And they point out the sick and the lame and the elderly to shoot first to make sure the rest of the flock stays healthy. And here the priests were giving of the worst and not the best unto a holy God. And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Boy, I mean, it's almost humorous. You would never think of that of doing it to a state, federal government level, but you do it to God. Yeah. But folks, we're guilty across America, even as Christians, if we're not careful of not giving our best. Not giving our best of not only our tithe and our finances, but our time, our talent, and service unto the Lord. Are we giving the best? Verse number 9. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto you. This has been by your means. Will he regard you persons? Saith the Lord of hosts. Who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. He said, I don't even want the offering you may offer, because not of only the, what you're offering is no good, but your, even your attitude is wrong to begin with. The people were offering that which was polluted, blind, and lame. You see, the people were involved in downward service. That's your next blank. They were offering a downward service. Instead of giving up unto the Lord, they were looking as they're above God and giving down. They're above the God himself. That was the attitude that they had in their mind. It was downward. And that's something that should not be done. They were short-sighted. They should have viewed every offering and act of service as upward to God instead of downward to man. Matthew chapter 25 and the little second part of verse number 40. Insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. See, in the Old Testament, sacrifices were commanded. Okay, sacrifices were commanded, but vows were voluntary. Big difference. But yet there were many Christians then and even now that are making vows that they should be very careful about. There's one thing to say, Lord, help me too. There's another thing, say, Lord, please help me. I will. And we can look at stories in the Bible where people made commitments and vows that wish they hadn't. And one warrior lost his daughter over it. Be very careful. Once the vow was made, it was binding. Look at what they did with their voluntary vows. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 14. But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. See, they had voluntarily offered something to the Lord, but then withheld from him the very thing that they had offered. Sometimes people are quick to make a vocal, look at me, vow to the Lord, but everyone knows they're not going to see what they actually do it or not. Big difference. Big difference. Letter D. Your attitude is defensive. Yes, this can be some things that are hard to swallow, but we need to be reminded once in a while. God has commands, and we're expected to do those commands. You know, again, getting back to this, and I'm preaching to the choir, but according to my Bible, the way I read it, a tithe is a debt we owe, an offering is a seed that we sow. I can't give an offering until I've given my tithe. Very clear in Scripture. Your attitude is defensive. Each time that God confronted their sin, they became defensive with God. Listen to some of their arrogant responses. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 2. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Malachi 1:6b. Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have ye despised my name? Malachi 1:7. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? I mean, very obvious, very clear, they're offering corrupt offerings, and then say, well, what do we do wrong? You know, it's like worse. I mean, this is not a good example, but worse than a kid that's got chocolate chips all over his face, and mom says, well, you been into cookies? Uh-uh, not me, mama. That's a child's view, but I'm talking about as adults, as grown men and grown women, the responses that we should have. Malachi 2:17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have you wearied him? Malachi 3:7b. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? See, all of these passages, as they say, what do we have to return from? Okay, God, what is it that we need to return for? What is it we need to do? Folks, we forget sometimes that we serve a holy, awesome God. And are we serving him, worshiping him, showing him the reverence that he not only deserves, but dear friends, it's a blessing to serve the Lord. It's a blessing. Through my years of ministry, there's not one time that I've regretted opening my wallet for anything that has to do with the Lord's service. Whether it be my tithe, or it be an offering, or a special offering, no regrets. God has been good to me. Letter E, and we're almost done. Your thinking is delusional. See, I'm afraid the Sunday morning crowd cannot handle this. Amen? Amen? But my pastor used to say, well, every once in a while, preacher, you need to air it out on Sunday morning too. Your thinking is delusional. The people caught thought that they could handle their riches better than God. Here's where we have a problem. If we can't say, this belongs to God, and I'm just a steward of it, that's where our problems in finances begin. You know why that I don't have a whole lot more money than what little bit I have? Because I just accepted the fact that maybe God can't trust me with it. I think I could trust myself. I think I could hit the jackpot and be very liberal and do all the right things, but that's not what I long for. What God has entrusted me with, I will use for His glory. It belongs to Him. My home, my car, my finances, my kids, my grandkids, anything that I can give back into Him, I want to do that. But their thinking was completely delusional. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? I remember the first time that I've talked to some people, especially new believers, and they first read that verse, will a man rob? Well, no, I would never rob God. He gave me salvation. Check back with me in about 10 years. Let's see how you're doing. Will a man rob God? Yet have you robbed me. But you say, wherein have you robbed thee? In tithes, in offering. See, when a man robs God, he is actually robbing himself. I'm just a steward of what God has entrusted me with. And when I've learned a long time ago, you don't have to agree with me. I don't take this the wrong way, but I don't care. You don't have to agree with me, but I don't care. Because the way I look at it is, I have a snow shovel and I'm giving it to God. Excuse me, a sand shovel from the beast. You know those little beady ones? And I'm giving to God. God breaks out the snow shovel and He gives it back to me. And God has proven that over and over and over again. So let me ask, are you robbing yourself for the blessings of God? Luke 6:38 says, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall be given to your bosom. The best illustration I have for that is when I was a teenager. I was a teenager. I was the oldest, so my siblings were preteens and before that. We had to rake the leaves in our yard, and we had some big trees in our yard. And finally, after I moved out, Dad cut it down. But until then, we would rake leaves, and Mama would say, boys, there'll be no stickball, no wiffle ball, because we played stickball and wiffle ball in our driveway every pretty day that we weren't at the boys' club or at the ball field or ball practice. And Mom would move her car, give us room so we can play ball. There'll be no stickball, no wiffle ball till you fill 5 bags of leaves. I'm talking about the big. They don't make them as big as they used to. They also don't make Whoppers as big as they used to. It seems like I had two. Really had to have two hands back in those days. We would fill those bags with haste. Tie them up, ring the bell, and said, Mama, we cleaned up. Can we have the wiffle ball and bat? She didn't trust us. She had the wiffle ball and bat. She would come out, and she would say, boys, open those bags. Bring them up here to the doorstep. And Mama would step off into one bag. Fill her up again, boys, to the next bag. All 5 bags. Fill them up. This is the best illustration I could give how God gives back to us. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure. pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's how God gives back. When we give, folks, and that's just when we do what He asked us to do. Could you imagine how much more He wants to do when we do above that? God has blessed us. I'm really hesitant to say anything. But Michelle and I decided a long time ago, before we ever went into missions, forever involved in ministry, we were young. We have no young people here tonight. I was 19 and Michelle was 18 when we got married. We got married young so we can enjoy our grandkids. Had our first child 2 years later. We made a decision that we were not only going to tithe, we were going to give an offering every time there was one, even if it was only a dollar, even if it was only a quarter, we were going to give an offering. We were going to give the missions above our tithe. And we did that. It was the first check we wrote before we paid the rent. In fact, the last thing that we bought was groceries. And boy, was I fit and trim back in those days. But a whole lot left, especially if you were in the military. But somehow, some way, God always blessed. And through the years, God has allowed us to give more and more and more. And I am your pastor. I'm going to be careful. But we give well beyond 10% of our income back through Harvest Baptist Church or whatever member of church we were at. Because we figured, and we learned a long time ago, I can't outgive God. I can't. And so often we're out and about, and I used to could not figure out, why has God blessed me so much? Why has all these little extra things come along the way? And I'm reminded when I read my scripture, and the Holy Spirit whispers in my ear, I'm just giving you back a little. I'm just giving you back a little. God's been good to us. God has been good to this church. God's been good to the people of the church, but he's not through. And until he returns, as long as he tarries, we're to continue to give our best unto the Lord, our time, our talents, and our finances as well. This leads us for next week from confrontation to condemnation, and we'll look at that next week. But again, it's not in your notes, but you mark your Bible, Luke 6:38. Read in the book of Corinthians where the Lord talks about giving and the grace giving, and I look at it as missions giving. Many people call it grace giving. But God has blessed us, and you will never, again, not the best example, but we took our grandkids to, they will tell you the North Pole, but we took them on the Polar Express, and we made the 3-hour trip up to Fitzgerald, and those kids got served hot chocolate and cookies on that train. They would argue with you. They only think it takes Papaw 3 hours in a train trip to get to the North Pole. They're convinced they went there. And you'll not change them. And you understand the imagination of children. But let's step out to the adult. You'll never convince me. Never convince me that I can't outgive God. That God will not bless me and honor me and help me and provide my needs. Because he has. And I'm convinced it's because of my desire to be faithful. Even when I wasn't making $75 a week and I gave. To today where I'm making much more and give back. God has blessed and progressed through our ministry in our life. And anytime there's an offering and anytime there's a need in this church, we won't always take up an offering for a need. Sometimes Michelle and I just meet it out of our pocket. There's not a dime out of this church that is spent that I spend without this church's knowledge or the deacons. But I'll do it myself if I don't have time to do it. Because I know when there's needs and a brother has a need, a sister has a need, and I can meet that need the way I figure it is. If God's laid that on my heart, I'm going to do my best to meet it. But if God doesn't lay it on my heart, I definitely will still pray and find out how maybe the church or someone else may want to help. But God has been good to us. And I'm convinced that God has got greater things to take place because I serve a mighty and great God. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But don't take this the wrong way. I still think God hasn't showed his greatest yet. What I mean is, we're limiting what God can do. We are. We as God's people limit the power of the Holy Spirit by our attitude, our approach, or our doubtingness, or our willingness to be fully involved. We limit that. But when we are vulnerable and open up to God and say, God, whatever you want, whatever it is for your will for my life, if you'll help me, I'll do it. Lord, if you'll help me, I'll get out of the way. Lord, if you'll help me, I'll jump in and help. Whatever it may be. And I think those limitations, God chooses. Not that God is not that we limit God. God chooses not to because of our attitude and our behavior. We just read it in Malachi. It was because of their attitude. It was because of their willingness not to give God's best that God was disgruntled and upset and angry and withheld from them because they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. So we must ask ourselves, am I doing everything that God would have me to do? Am I doing anything that's hindering God from pouring more blessings down on my church? Am I doing anything and hindering God from doing something else that he wants in our church because of my attitude or my lack of willingness to participate or to be involved? Can't answer that, only you can. But I'm going to do my best to get out of the way when I need to and jump in when I need to and say, Lord, please give me the wisdom to know which one that I need to do. Get out of the way or to get in. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the blessings and joy of fellowship and leadership, Lord, and just loving and serving you. Father, thank you for the example that you've given us, Lord, even though we had to point out those who were looked at that should have been godly who were not. But Father, we can still learn from those mistakes. Not point the finger, but realize, hey, the mirror toward me. And Lord, how do you see me? How does my wife, my spouse, my husband see me? How do my others see me, Lord? How do you see me? And Lord, how do I do? And what do I need to do to do the things that honor you? Father, help me to remember the vows, the commitments that I've made, the commandments that you've given, that I'm fulfilling those things according to thy will. Father, we love you. And the Lord, help us all to honor thee in which we say and which we do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, brother.